I don't know why that's not coming.
Where's the song? We need the song.
I got the button. There it is.
All right, here it comes.
I don't know.
I'm still not hearing it. There it is. Right. It's off in the distance.
This is screwed up here. It's coming up on the wrong button.
No, that's not good. That was dizzying.
Crazy day.
That was dizzying.
Yeah, it's coming up on the hotkey button when it shouldn't. It should be coming up on the producer's key. Crazy town.
I only hope that listeners have their own copy of the song that they could play. Like when ours is unable to fire up, I hope that at home people can go, well, I have the 45 right here, and they throw it on.
I was listening to it. I was trying to turn my son Michael on to this while I was driving him home from College of DuPage. And as it kicked in, that's why yesterday we played the whole thing, because she gets cray-cray.
She's very, very talented with the vocal range. Listen to that.
Your glasses just
broke. They just shattered. Shadooby.
Oh.
Listen, I couldn't do this. Honestly, if somebody said to me, $100,000 just sound a little like this, I couldn't do it.
I couldn't either.
How do you train your voice to get up that high? That's impossible.
Well, some people have it. Some people have very many octaves that they use. I have one.
What, just the one octave?
Just
the
one.
That's plenty. That's all
it.
You need. Can you scream? Are you able to scream?
Because
I can't scream.
I don't even think as a baby, and I don't mean a baby. I guess then you can scream because you scream and cry. But, you know, when my brother and his friends in the neighborhood would scare me, it's like I'd try to scream, but nothing came out, kind of like in a dream.
Yeah, that's a common dream people have that they need to scream and can't. I can't even come that close. I can't. There was a movie called Blowout, and there's a scene in Blowout.
Love that movie.
Remember that? Where there
John
was an
Travolta.
Actress. Yeah.
Somebody Lewis?
Nancy Allen.
Oh.
And Jerry Lewis.
I was going to say Karen Lewis, but she runs the schools
here,
doesn't she?
Yeah, she wasn't in Blowout. She didn't do any Brian De Palma movies.
Allen.
Yeah,
Debbie
Nancy
Allen?
Debbie Allen was in Fame. Woody Allen was not in it.
All right, I'm
Alan
sorry to
Funt
interrupt
was not
you.
In it.
It was a fantastic movie. Go ahead. We were talking about screaming.
Was a scene where an actress was in the shower and she had to scream because somebody was coming at her like Psycho, and they had to hire a different actress to provide that scream. And I remember I saw it with a couple of friends, and then we got in the car, and my friend goes, I don't think I could scream. And I go, everyone can scream. And we all three of us tried to scream, and none of us could make us. We couldn't scream.
I mean, you can go, ah!
But that's not a scream.
Like a blood-curdling scream. Can't do it.
Can't do it. I don't know if can any men scream, or is that just something women can do?
You're a sexist.
I don't think men can scream.
Are you kidding me?
I don't know a single guy who's got it in him to be able to scream.
First of all, you've never been around a guy who needed to scream.
That's true. I can't think of a situation where any of my friends were like, oh, look, a tarantula, and then just screamed at the top of their lungs. That's true.
If you're a man and can scream, demonstrate
312-235-2525.
I don't think it's a guy-girl thing.
I would tip my hat to that man.
You are so easily impressed.
I would tip my fedora to him. No, because it's strange because you think, well, I must be able to if I needed to. If something so blood-curdling happened, I should be able to pull it off. But I know for a fact I cannot do it. I've tried it on several occasions.
We have just made ourselves targets. There are two people you could attack because we can't scream.
Right.
In the silence, no one hears you. What is it? What's the...
In space, no one can hear you scream.
I bet I could scream there. I don't know.
Alien.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I discovered by accident once along the lines of screaming? One time I was brushing my teeth, and I accidentally got toothpaste in my eye, and it burned so bad.
That does hurt.
And I quickly thought to myself, I got to remember this in case I'm ever attacked. And then I thought, what would have to happen circumstance-wise where I'd be brushing my teeth and someone would attack me? Where would I be for that to come in handy? So now I always carry a tube of Crest with me, just in case.
For emergencies.
Yeah. Yep.
Mace? No. Nope.
I don't have any mace, but if you attack me, be ready because you're going to get some minty fresh Crest in your eye. Prepare to scream, unless you're a man, in which case you won't be able to.
Men can scream.
I don't think so.
Not all men's voices.
Who do you know? Who's the first guy that comes to mind that I go, let's get him in the studio. I bet he can scream.
Martin Short.
Hmm. That's interesting.
I bet Martin Short could scream.
Oh, maybe. Yeah.
Because it doesn't have to do... And there are some women who have deeper voices than men.
Yeah. Brenda Vaccaro couldn't scream. Lauren Bacall couldn't scream.
No.
I've mentioned her name twice in a row now. If you've got her on your bingo card, if you're listening to the bonus hour and you have one of those bonus hour bingo cards that we gave out at Esso stations.
What is with you?
I don't know.
Esso stations.
Yeah. Yep.
Sorry, I have been so busy today screening many phone calls.
Everything all right?
Yeah, it's just waiting for Permaseal to come over and they're letting me know.
Everything will be fine.
Yep, no water in the basement.
Everything will be fine. Well, that's what Permaseal promises, and they deliver, Wendy.
They do,
they're
totally.
They're a proud sponsor. You got any problems with nematodes?
No, darn it. Every day on my way home, I always want to remember to bring up nematodes to you on the air, and I always forget.
If I do scream,
I bet you
any amount of money I scream because either myself or a loved one's being attacked by these nematodes.
Have you looked
they're
up what
screwing
a nematode...
up my soybean crop. My soybean crop is a mess, and I say to myself, what's going on? It's the nematode. Well, you knew what it was going to be, but it is. It's the nematodes.
Do you know
terrible
what they look
year
like?
For them. Yeah, like this.
Jeez. This is like why we call this Bill Leff Unleashed.
I didn't know such a thing existed until they became a proud sponsor, and now I sleep under the covers.
Listen.
I'm scared out of my mind.
Nematodes are not the sponsor. It's something
it's
to combat.
The spray that eradicates the nematodes, and thank goodness we have such a spray. This country would be controlled by nematodes.
I honestly was driving home yesterday and 3 days prior, and I hear the commercial on the station, and I wanted to bring up nematodes to you. Do you want to know a little bit more about them? Because I just kind of want to know real quickly what they are.
How big are they? Does it say how big they are?
Oh, I want to throw up.
They're bad, aren't they? Just the name. You hear the name, they have to be bad. What do they look like? Like prehistoric
like nematodes.
Monsters?
Yeah, they look like giant worm-like things.
Oh, no.
They're just...
Wendy, show me a picture. Yeah, they're hideous.
They're just...
They're hideous. I don't like them. I'm against them.
Are they...
How large are they?
The nematode or roundworms constitute...
See, if I'm the marketing department, roundworms sound bad, but nematodes sound like they're from another dimension. I would go with nematodes every time.
Me too.
It scares people.
Yeah, and nematodes, just roundworms don't...
Yeah, you go, huh, that's all right. We can deal with that, but not a nematode.
They're a diverse animal phylum.
That's a kind of doe.
That's phylo or phylo. They're pesky pets that disrupt your garden soil.
Yep.
Much like slugs, I would imagine.
I would imagine. But why all of a sudden, like, why did they exist forever and we didn't hear about them? And now, is it just because they're a sponsor? Because I didn't even know they existed. And now...
The nematodes aren't a sponsor.
I send one of my daughters out before I go to my... Before I leave the house to make sure there aren't any waiting for me in the yard.
They actually... there are beneficial nematodes that
well,
are
sure,
used...
sure, the good ones.
...to control grubs, fungus, gnats, fleas, and over 200 other soil-developing pests. So there are good nematodes and bad nematodes.
Yeah.
They're live microscopic organisms.
Thank goodness they're microscopic. What if they were 6 feet long?
I bet.
Would you ever leave the house? I'd stay inside forever.
Oh, speaking of alien,
I know.
That's what it would mean.
Yikes. That's too big for a nematode.
All right. Well, they are not good for plants.
I gathered that part. I just don't like them.
They're non-segmented roundworms.
Okay.
What's a roundworm?
That'll make it easier to identify when they're covering me, like a Twilight Zone episode.
Have you ever pulled up vegetable pants? Don't you have a pair of vegetable?
You better put your vegetable pants on. Do you have your vegetable pants on?
Yeah, they're made out of sod. I think David Byrne had a pair of those.
Did he?
If you've ever pulled up vegetable plants, such as tomatoes or peppers, at the end of the growing season and noticed bumps along the underground portion of the stem around the roots, if you wondered what those were, you've got nematodes. Ugh. And not the good kind.
Ugh.
They're tiny, worm-like, multicellular animals adapted to living in water. Ugh!
They're going to be the death of us.
There are an estimated 500,000 species of nematodes worldwide.
Wait, 500,000 species?
Yes.
See, now, if you had just said there's 500,000 nematodes worldwide, I'd go, oh, that's a lot. We must eradicate them. But that's a 500,000 species. So each species must have thousands, if not millions, of participants.
Yep. 500,000 species of nematodes worldwide, including a group that lives in films of water that cling to soil particles.
Do they have a national convention every year somewhere?
Vegas.
Is it in Las Vegas? Mm-hmm. That's a surprise. I didn't see that coming.
Some are good guys. Some beneficial nematodes help control cutworms, fleas, ants, termites, grubs, and other lawn insect pests.
How does a nematode determine if he or she is going to be a good or a bad nematode? What has to, is it, I bet it's their upbringing.
Yes.
It's got to be.
And aren't, like, regular earthworms, I don't know, I can't remember the term from biology.
Icky?
Yes.
Is it icky?
Hermaphrodites?
Oh, I didn't know that.
I thought they were. The nematodes that damage vegetable plants are not a gardener's friends, and they are plant parasitic nematodes.
Oh, yeah.
Two different kinds, so maybe nematodes do sponsor our show.
So you're saying it's not the nematodes themselves that are buying airtime, but it's the company that wants to control them. I was unclear on that.
I wasn't sure.
I thought the
either.
Nematodes were actually spending their money.
But listen to this. Nematode killing chemicals are not available to homeowners. The only real control is to prevent plant parasitic nematodes from becoming a problem in the first place.
Why can't homeowners buy them? But they're advertising it on our station, so they must be able
to. But this is for farms.
Oh, all right. So homeowners are still unable to so far.
The only thing I can suggest is rotate your crops.
I have been.
That's good to know.
That's solid advice, Wendy.
God, I can't believe you brought up nematodes first. I've been meaning to do this for 2 weeks.
I live in fear of them. I should say I knew almost nothing about them. You have shed some light, but up until you just shared with us the backstory.
Ugly backstory.
I'll pass somebody in the hall, and I'll go,
are you a nematode?
I think that's Orion, but who knows? They may have, there may have been enough of them to form something that looks like Orion. It's like pod people.
That would be freaky.
Yes, it would. Yes, it would be freaky, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
This is the point where Judy Pilak normally walks in and doesn't really know where this conversation started. And I'll be honest.
We don't either.
We're in it and we don't know where it started. Right. So she always just looks at us like, how did you, what led to this? And there's never a correct answer to that.
No, there isn't.
There's never a correct answer to that. All right, really quickly, we don't have a whole lot of time, but I wanted to mention this. Honolulu has passed a law that I suggested, I think on the air, months ago, if not years ago. As of today, they are going to charge you if they see you texting while crossing a street.
How
you're
going to
get a $35 fine. Pedestrians pulling out their cell phone when crossing the street better be ready to pull their wallets out as well. A new law taking effect today in Honolulu has made it illegal to text while you are crossing a street. Pedestrians in Hawaii's state capital who cross the street or highway while using a mobile electronic device can be slammed with a fine of up to $35. So it's not a standard $35. They can make that determination. It could be less for their first offense. And then it goes up from there. While we have laws in place for our motorists and our bicyclists, now it's a shared responsibility.
Bicyclists?
People who ride the bikes. Now it's a shared responsibility for pedestrians as well to really pay attention as they cross the street.
I've been watching kids riding bikes in our neighborhoods, and they are all on their smartphones.
Yeah,
and
while riding.
I'm kind of hoping they run into a tree. Not to
Isn't that
hurt
terrible?
Themselves.
Just to wake them up and go, look at how dangerous this is.
Maybe bend the rim on their tire just to go, hey, I shouldn't be doing it.
Yeah. Now, I need to make this suggestion to the good people of Honolulu, Hawaii. Don't just pass a law saying you're going to ticket people up to $35. Follow through. Actually do it. They changed the law in Illinois a couple years ago for driving and texting. I don't see anybody getting pulled over.
I got pulled over the first week the law went into effect.
Did you?
I wasn't texting. I was on the phone.
Yeah.
This was before the hands-free things, and you had to wear the stupid Bluetooth, which I refused to participate in because you look stupid.
Yeah, but it's safer.
I know, but it was just a quick phone call just to say I was running late. I was on Lakeshore Drive, and sure enough, I got pulled over.
Did you have to pay a fine?
Yes. I can't remember how. It was either $100. I think it was a $100 fine.
See, now that's one. If they caught me doing that, I would say, you know what? You're right. Here's the money. Take it. I did wrong. I made my life more dangerous. I made everyone else's life more dangerous. You are in the right, sir. Here's your money. And watch out for nematodes. I would close it off like that.
But no one else I know got a ticket for talking on their phone.
I see
I'm the only one
every day, and nobody. They pass by police officers. The cops don't do anything.
I know.
That's not right.
Now, is Hawaii hiring new police officers to ticket these people who are walking and texting? Because I would like to maybe, you know.
It doesn't say
apply for a job. Wouldn't you want to just that be your only job in Hawaii?
I swear to you, here, if they were ever looking for people to just patrol the streets and pull
citizens
people over for
risk.
Tickets, I would be happy to help them out with that. More than happy.
You'd love doing it.
It doesn't say. I would love doing it, not to be mean, but just because it's so dangerous and everybody thinks, well, most people shouldn't be able to text and drive, but I can do it. No.
You shouldn't even walk and text.
I know.
How many times are you trying to get through the little turnstiles here at the building or get in or out of an elevator and someone's on their phone?
All the time.
I did do that the other day where I was texting something as I was walking out of the elevator and the guy was annoyed by me and I looked at him. I said, I am so sorry.
Did you? Good.
I am
you handled
so
it right.
sorry.
But did you do it again since?
No.
Okay, good. Good.
But at least I apologized. It was totally my fault.
Yeah, most people in that same position tend to blame the other person when, you know, they're
like, watch where you're going. Really?
Yeah.
You're watching your phone.
Right.
We're
right.
getting crotchety,
we'll
aren't we?
I think we are.
It's about time. I wondered when that would happen.
Setting in.
All right, October is the month for crotchetiness.
Right. That's it. It's Crotchety Awareness Month, Wendy. All right, we'll take a break. Judy Pilak should stop by. You like your crotchety? You're going to love Judy Pilak. And then after the news, we'll discuss other things. She is. Hi, Jude. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
All right. What did we decide that October was?
Nematode Awareness Month.
And
Crotchety Month. Crotchety Awareness Month.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Yeah.
Judy Pilak is here to
I
do
like
news.
Being crotchety.
You wear it well, Jude.
Thank
There's
you.
There's a lot of people who don't seem comfortable
Sometimes
with it.
Sometimes you need
you...
it. Sometimes you got to get through people and only crotchety-ness
yeah.
works.
Agreed. Agreed. You should teach a class at Columbia College.
Maybe I will.
Crotchety 101.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just, you know.
To be or not to be?
What are you looking at? You'd say that to people.
Is it crotchety?
Don't think I haven't.
But see now, this is what I don't like. If a woman states a point and says, here, do it this way, we're either being bitchy or crotchety.
I think crotchety almost always applies to somebody
age?
Older.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm really kidding, but I know some crotchety people and they drive me crazy.
But are they younger or older?
Older.
Yeah. For some reason... It's hard
some
to be.
Some of them shouldn't be crotchety at their age.
They're too
age,
young
though.
To be crotchety.
Too young.
Yeah.
Some of them work here.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Now I'm going to be thinking that during your whole newscast.
Ryan Burrow, I bet.
He's not crotchety.
And crotchety just being. You
Bertrand.
Know.
She's talking about
Steve Bertrand.
Bertrand.
I know it's
Although
Steve
he's
Bertrand.
Not there.
You don't even have to say it. Everyone knows it's Steve Bertrand.
The WGN Weather Center forecast, a frost advisory outside of the city tomorrow morning from 4 to 8. Tonight, or today rather, mostly cloudy, breezy, cold. The high 48 tonight, becoming clear. Patchy frost is possible. The low 37. And then tomorrow, I'm having a really hard time saying these really low temperatures.
You're not ready to do it yet.
No, I want to say 73. Tomorrow, partly to mostly sunny. The high 58.
That's acceptable.
Can live
Although
with that.
Today was this morning was almost 50 and it was really cold.
Yeah,
it was. Cold.
I keep saying to myself, it's almost 50. Why am I so cold?
But you know what? But so much nicer than the day before than yesterday
because of the sunshine.
Yeah.
The
yeah,
sun was
right.
out.
That
it
rain
wasn't
was,
all crazy rainy
oh,
and stuff.
I could never live in Seattle. I know.
Does it really rain there almost
yeah,
all the time?
Apparently, every day. Every other day. I mean, and to have that rain for the past how many days was just miserable.
And yesterday, people always, like when I was a kid, I'd hear this phrase and I'd go, well, that's impossible. And it is kind of impossible, but you'll get it. That sideways rain where because of the wind, it's not coming, it's not dropping down on you.
Right.
It is coming from
you
the side.
You will get wet.
You're
going to
get wet.
Yeah, even if, yeah.
I had an umbrella.
Yeah, it didn't matter.
It didn't matter.
No.
I was
and
soaked.
It just rained all day, just a little bit.
And it was so damp. Like last night, all I wanted to do was crank the heat, which I did have to turn the heat on.
Yeah.
And I wanted to make pot roast. It just felt like that day you wanted to just hunker down.
I got right into my pajamas when I got home.
Yeah.
God, those were the days.
Those are the days. When mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm going to go back to those
now.
Days.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you have footy pajamas?
Someone told me on Christmas.
Yeah.
That's what they do all day. They don't
just stay in their pajamas on Christmas?
Like,
they have people coming over?
How did I do everything wrong? Yeah, so I'm trying now to reinvent my, and you know, like retrain my kids. Don't keep your pajamas on.
Yeah?
Yeah, because we were the family that dressed up.
to the hilt.
Yeah. Oh, but doesn't it depend on who's coming to visit for the holidays?
Yes.
Like, if you have people coming to visit,
right,
you don't want to be in your pajamas.
I don't know. I let the kids do whatever they want.
Yeah?
Yeah. I mean, if going to church, you got to look nice.
Right.
But then after church, it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
And Jim's mom started that. My mother-in-law was great. We, last year, it was the first year we weren't. She didn't want to cook a Christmas dinner. So on Christmas Eve, we were going to go out to dinner. And my youngest son, Dylan, was like, I kind of have a problem with that. I don't want to. It's Christmas. I want to be at someone's house. I don't want to go out to dinner. Well, it worked out. We went out to dinner at this lovely Italian restaurant in Glenview, mm-hmm. as she calls it. And it was fantastic. And mm-hmm. then we went back to her house and played bingo and opened presents. So it was the best of both worlds and no right. cleanup for her. So it started a new tradition.
I have said for years, and I know people fight, they fight tooth and nail about this, but we have spent, Terry and I and the girls have spent the last several Thanksgivings at restaurants, and it's the best Thanksgiving ever.
How do you find a restaurant open on Thanksgiving?
You know, every year, I'm not making this up,
there's
more and more open. The first time we did it, it was really tough to find something. But the last couple of years, we've had our pick of it, and it's just been it's
now. Do they
fantastic.
Have a buffet, or do you just order?
No, it's
because you do
down.
Get turkey, right?
No,
you don't. He doesn't like
what,
turkey.
I look around because I can't stand turkey. I just don't like it at all. And I look around and I go, well, probably on Thanksgiving, half the people here, nobody's getting turkey. So it's all these people that go, I got to go the anti-Thanksgiving for it.
Right.
But it's fantastic.
Some people go out to get turkey so they don't have to cook it.
I'm
you know?
Sure of it. I'm positive.
But now it's just the four of you?
The last 3 years, it has been just the four of us. But the three or four previous years, it would also be my family. You know,
they'd you pick still a restaurant. Went out?
Yeah. And it was great. No cleanup. You don't have to spend several days beforehand planning anything.
I started doing that for Christmas. Like the past 2 years, I started. I would order, like, and I, for some reason, pasta. I did go Italian,
did
but
you?
That's Christmas. Yeah, but I still do Thanksgiving.
Did you? Yeah.
I love hosting Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I love turkey.
But think about all the pressure.
There is no pressure
there
anymore.
It's not that hard to make a turkey stuffing and mashed potatoes.
It's a lot of work.
Yes, it's a lot of time and work, but it's just not that hard.
Remember the pressure you went through last year, though, about cleaning your table?
Yeah, I've been pretty good with keeping my dining room table clean because I got a new table. Yeah, but I mean, that had to be done anyway. I just put a lot of crap on my dining room table.
Well,
that's
you
the catch-all.
Thanksgiving to clear it.
Exactly.
You got to do that once a year, so that's a good time to do it.
Now there are just a couple laptops on it and a box.
Oh, that's easy.
That's nothing
take care
for
of that
me.
In 5 minutes.
So I like having Thanksgiving. And when you say pressure, there really isn't because I've been doing it all these years. And that way I get to control the menu.
Yeah, that's better.
I get to pick
the
sides I like.
And see, every year I do different sides, but I try to pare it down. I mean, when the kids were little, it was ridiculous what mm-hmm. we made. The food, it was crazy how much stuff we had over. And so now I really try to make enough so I don't really have, leftovers I do like for Thanksgiving.
I do too.
Yeah.
But I make so many sides because we have a bunch of babies in my family. Jim likes the green bean casserole. My father-in-law has to have corn. I like a tossed salad. Auntie Mary's Jello has to be made. It's like everyone has a favorite side, and instead of paring them down, it seems like every year somebody goes, oh, well, I want this. But honestly, it's
how
so
about
easy.
You should then respond with, yes, me too. How about you make
bring
that?
It?
Yeah, bring
yeah.
it.
It's just easier to do it myself.
Yeah. I'm with you on that.
But then the mess, it's the cleanup is just
you know
insane.
What? Can I tell you, every year, Jimmy Mack does all the cleanup.
He's a saint.
He really is. Everybody helps getting the dishes in
He's
the dishwasher.
A good stormtrooper.
He is. You know, I
now
handle
you don't
the cooking.
Do you pull the china out? Do you do the
I
special?
Did. I have my grandmother's china, which is beautiful. I have Jim's grandmother's china, which is beautiful. And 1 year, I used each of them, like 2 years in a row.
Yeah.
But you have to hand wash them.
Right.
I have never used it again. Because I don't even know why I have
washing?
It. Yeah.
Yeah. That's
work, yeah.
I used to, I mean, really, the first year I did it, I polished my mom's silver.
Mm-hmm.
I've never done that again.
No. One and out.
Yeah.
No, life has become much easier since we decided to just go to restaurants.
As you get older, I might have to try that maybe for a holiday.
Yeah.
I don't know about Thanksgiving.
I wouldn't necessarily say do it for every holiday, but it really makes the season a lot more fun and easier if you just do at least one.
Yeah.
Christmas is always at our house. Christmas Eve has been kind of a rotating thing. But for Thanksgiving, because we were all like, we were, when it was over, we were all just be like, was this worth it? One year I timed dinner. We went to one of Terry's sister's houses.
Yep.
So 3 days of prep, 2 hours of cleanup, and I timed it 21 minutes of dinner. And I
yeah,
said, is
that's
it worth
ridiculous.
That's
that?
Longer than ours usually.
Is it?
We always eat twice.
Yeah, we do too.
Do you?
Yeah. We kind of just put some, you know, saran wrap over the food and leave it on the table and we sit down again. Yeah.
And it's so funny.
I thought that was a Polish thing, but that's funny.
No, I think back of when, you know, my brother used to order pizzas when we all lived at home.
Yeah.
And he and his friend Ed would have their pizza and wouldn't tell my sister and I that they ordered it because they didn't want to share it. And so he would leave it. He had a wooden board under his bed on wheels that he'd slide out because he'd have like a racetrack there. So he would just leave the pizza on that little wooden
thing. Under his bed?
All night long. He'd wake up and have it for breakfast. When we ordered a pizza as a family, we'd put it in the oven. You know, we had a wall-mounted oven.
Yeah, yeah,
and we would just store it there. So, like, I don't know why. So mice wouldn't get to it. I don't know. The oven wasn't on, but we'd wake up in the morning. We never refrigerated anything.
No. Yeah.
I think we're a little bit psycho about
that. I think so, too. Yeah, so Thanksgiving.
It's like you don't want to leave mayonnaise out in the blaring sun.
Right.
So
right.
You know, everyone goes overboard just in case. But yeah, it's fine.
But we leave our turkey out, too.
Yeah,
and
we leave it all out. And then we eat again.
Yeah. I kind of love, and we're getting a new kitchen finally. I picked out cabinets, and they're going to arrive like right at Thanksgiving. So now I'm panicking because I want to have it.
If this were a holiday special, Tom Jenke would bring them on Thanksgiving and install them, and then you and the Lennon sisters would sing about it.
And then we could videotape it and put it on WJR.
Yes. It would get over
a
dozen
heads.
You know darn well he'd do it.
You know he would do it.
Who would play? You'd make a good Lennon sister. We have to get two more sisters.
Do
I'm
it,
in.
Dude.
I'm in.
Do it.
That would be really funny, but I think we might miss it. Like the cabinets will be arriving the week after Thanksgiving.
Oh,
and
bad
so,
timing.
Well, no, because don't host Christmas.
Oh.
As long as I can, it's a crappy kitchen, drawers have fallen off, but I can still use my oven and cook, and then we'll do it over the Christmas break.
That's how it should be.
Yep. I'm in.
I love having Thanksgiving, Bill. I know you don't. It's just so warm and so family. We always play bingo, and my sister brings all these little gifts she purchases. The kids have a blast. The adults have a blast.
Then it's good. Then it's working. Don't change
it. It is working.
Yeah. But for me, it's become really, sometimes it's just like the four of us.
You and the kids.
The kids, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, my dad and brother. Yeah, my dad always comes, but you know, so five. I mean,
I have 12.
But I like the turkey. It's the one time. Actually, I do usually make turkey one other time during the year. I make a turkey.
Do you?
Yeah, I love turkey.
Because I always wonder if people love it so much, why don't they eat it all the time?
Yeah,
but it's not
easy to make.
Well, it is.
Like we've kind of been forced to believe that that's the food, and if it's not that food, something's gone wrong.
Right.
And then
that wasn't
the meal
they
had on the first Thanksgiving.
Exactly. But I think if people aren't eating turkey on Thanksgiving, that's
they
weird.
They go, uh-oh. Yeah.
My family, when they would want turkey again on Christmas. I'm like, oh, we just had turkey.
We do Italian food, like the cold cuts and pasta.
That sounds much
sausage
better.
Bread.
This year, I might do pizza on Christmas Eve.
See, that's the way to be. Break the
mold.
And
then I'll make dinner on Christmas Day.
Break the mold. You know what this reminds me of? Over the weekend, I was listening to the station, and Frank Fontana was on. And he opened up a segment by saying, the one thing everyone has in common is everyone loves pumpkin spice. And then I threw up. I pulled over and I threw up.
Yeah, I hate it.
I am going to yell at him because that's not true.
He knows that's not true. He was lying to people.
Yeah, nobody likes it.
There are people who like
it. Stephanie Menendez.
Very few.
But if you walk around the streets, everybody has some version of it. You can get it in some way, shape, or form everywhere. And I always think, how did this, because I don't remember this years ago, but now all of a sudden that's like the official drink of October, no matter where you are. You have to have pumpkin spice.
There is a dog treat called Greenies, and it is good for their teeth. It's shaped like a little toothbrush, and they can eat it. I saw pumpkin spice Greenies.
Oh, God.
There's no dog hoping that it's October so we can have pumpkin spice flavored stuff.
Ew, it's just not. It's not a very good spice.
I don't think it is.
Do you like pumpkin pie, though?
No.
Okay, because you know what I had for dinner last night? a piece of pumpkin pie.
For dinner?
Yeah. The night got away from us. We didn't eat. And I had purchased a Baker Square pumpkin pie for Dylan because he just got his braces off.
Was there whipped cream on top of it?
I got it on the side because not everybody likes, you know, whipped cream on it. So, yeah, I had I like pumpkin pie, but I don't like pumpkin spice. I know that sounds very Fannie Dooley. I don't mean it
but
to be.
But the difference is what? Because I don't know the difference.
Well, I know what I'm getting. And sometimes if you put too much nutmeg or too much, Baker Square does a pretty good job measuring it out. So yeah. It tastes like pumpkin pie. I enjoy it. But if I have coffee, I don't want my coffee to taste like pumpkin pie.
Oh, right.
If I have a pasta, I don't want it to taste like pumpkin pie.
Yeah.
But why can you get, like, you can get Oreos that are flavored like it. You can get Cheerios that are flavored like
people
it. You can
love
get
it. Pop-Tarts Frank Fontana's that are flavored. Right.
I guess Frank Fontana's
well,
right.
Really? Do they love it or is it
it's just everywhere.
The industry,
it's forced on you.
Yes. It's forced. The industry did it and then we just do it because it's like, oh,
right.
Even though we don't really like it. We're like, oh, we love it because it reminds you of the holidays and it's the start and
yeah.
Why don't they have, buying into it?
Why don't they have turkey flavored coffee then?
Why don't they
and
have turkey flavored
everything?
Coffee.
This is where crotchety comes in handy. We should all be crotchety about it. Like, I'm not going to drink that.
Right. Well, it's all
holidays,
boycott it.
Baja.
I think you just mean Bah Humbug, not Bah.
Baja.
I can't really
that's
think
a peninsula.
Of it.
She wants to go on vacation.
There's a woman in here shouting out the names of peninsulas. What do we do with her? She's crotchety. Just let her go.
It is all over the place.
You can't escape it. It's the same way I feel because I don't like coffee at all. And you're
coffee.
Forced. I know most people
love
do.
Love coffee. I would never drink
but
that.
You're forced to.
Yeah.
We live in a coffee-driven society where if you go somewhere, somebody's got a pot of it. Can I top that off for you? No, but you can bring me Sprite and top that off. That would be all right.
You keep
do you
saying
get
Sprite
that.
For breakfast?
No.
If you go out to...
No.
I have friends who get Cokes.
I used to...
For breakfast?
Yeah, they order breakfast and they get a Coke with it.
I can drink Coke with it. Coffee's just to wake me up and then once I'm up, I don't need any more.
Mm, no more see, boosters?
No.
I get the crack coffee from Dunkin' Donuts every day.
That's what we brew at home, though.
No. Yeah, me too. It's not the same.
It's just crazy how people are so conditioned, like the day cannot begin unless they get either Dunkin' Donuts or you name your favorite coffee place.
I get a headache if I don't have my morning cup of coffee.
Do you really?
I
you
swear
actually
to you,
physically
yes.
get a headache?
Yeah, it's the caffeine, of course.
It's an addiction.
Yeah, it's definitely an addiction, and I like it.
She needs
Judy
some
gave me,
coffee.
I get the look from Judy once a week. It's like, don't even question
yeah, right.
this. It's not worth your life, is
this
it?
This segment
no.
is over.
No, it's not worth my life.
I'm looking forward to the holidays. I really am.
I know, I am too.
They're right around the corner.
Yes, they are.
Did you make your reservation?
Yeah.
You did already?
For the holidays?
For your Thanksgiving dinner.
Oh, for
dinner.
Thanksgiving? No, not yet, because we're deciding between a couple of different places. They're what's the Italian place that's right around the corner? We've been there.
Capri?
No, not Capri.
Right
it's on
here.
Water Street.
Yeah, it's, you can see it from the parking lot.
Starts
yeah.
the B, Brilla, Brilla.
I can't think of the name of it.
I can't. They have really good gnocchi there.
Yeah, they do.
Like super good.
And they have you ever had black ink squid pasta?
No, but you've told me about
it. Oh, man,
really?
Is that good. Yeah, it's got so much flavor. It's really, really good. The downside is your tongue is black for like 6 months afterwards. There's
yes.
a slight downside. Mm. I'm kidding about that, by the way.
But I'm sure you enjoy it because it looks like you ate that trick gum or something that somebody
yeah,
gave you.
I pretend I ate an ink cartridge when I'm done. That's my favorite thing to do. Bill, what did you have? I had an Epson, a 310 Epson. Oh, delicious. All right. I know we don't have a lot of time for this, but I thought this. There's a couple of quick stories. Let's see how many of them we get to. Story number one is this. The majority of white Americans believe that white people face discrimination. Isn't that interesting? A majority of white Americans believe that white people face discrimination. This is according to a new poll. But most said that they have themselves not personally experienced it, but they believe that it exists in the country. Do you think that's true, Judy?
Yeah,
that's
think
the
it's
whole
absolutely
angry
think it's
white
true.
Man thing.
Yeah, and you know what those people are called? Generally, racist.
See, that's what I was thinking.
They don't know the facts, but they have a feeling. That they're just
isn't
not,
that crazy?
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. to say it's never happened to me personally, but I think that as a whole, white people are being discriminated against in America. I don't know where you would get that idea.
Yeah,
were we talking about it with Dr. Duffy last week, Dr. John Duffy?
It would have been 2 weeks ago.
Okay,
maybe.
Well, whatever. I know we were talking about it on the air because it's the
shooters, privileged white privilege. Yeah,
I have always been angry white men, and it's like there are some men out there who are white who have I've heard people say this, if I'm not bisexual or gay or a different color, then I don't get any respect. And then you
or attention.
Yeah, and I'm like, really? Believe me, you're not falling through the cracks.
Right.
You're still privileged.
Right.
Yeah. But there are a lot of people that feel that way.
According to this study, and this was done by the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation and the Harvard T.S. Chan School of Public Health, 55% of people questioned 55% of white people questioned believe that discrimination against white people does exist in the United States today. Now, I will say this. There was a job I was up for one time in television. And when I didn't get the job, it was explained to me by somebody who was doing the hiring that their decision was based on the fact that they wanted to go with somebody who was non-white. And it bothered me.
Wow, they told you that?
Yes.
Yeah. They could have gotten fired.
Yeah, you could have gotten a whole lot of money for that.
It was as off the record could be, but I knew the people making the decision, and I said to them afterwards, because there were five people up for the job, and the person who got the job, I felt, was the least qualified for the job. And I said, I'm curious, not that I didn't get the job, but I'm curious as to why the person who got the job. And they said the decision was made from higher up that it needed to go to somebody who was non-white. And it bothered me like crazy for a day. And then, I know I'm sounding extremely sensitive and I don't mean to, I not only understood it, but I kind of applauded it and went, you know what? At some point, there needs to be more balance. And if it starts here, it starts here. I get it.
But yeah. It should be the right person for the job, because I also know some men who say, and not referring to me or you, Judy, seriously, but to, oh, she only got the job because they needed to fill their female quota. Like, what?
Oh, wow. Interesting.
Well, and then the response, though, I'm with Bill is, well, yeah, because for so long.
It was unbalanced.
Yeah, there were no women.
Yeah.
So you're right. If you have to. Thank you.
Stephanie Menendez brought in your coffee because you had that look on your face that you needed it. You were away from it too long.
Yes. Yep. I left it on her desk earlier.
Oh.
So it
has to start somewhere, but it should be the best person for the job.
It should, of course. The world should be perfect. It just is not. And yeah, and it's true.
So you have to make some amends.
Yeah, if you're a company and you have no black people working at your company, I mean, you got to start. It's true.
Right.
And you know what? It's like you say, he was the most or she was the most unqualified. But because, again, that person, obviously a minority, has not had the same opportunities.
Right.
So you almost have to give them more leeway.
I totally agreed with
it. It does stink, but it is where we're at. You have to
be
truthful about it.
But they shouldn't be telling him about that, because that's illegal.
Their official stance.
Yeah, totally illegal.
The official stance of the people doing the show was to not tell me that, but this was a person that I knew that was on the inside, and I just said, hey, just between me and you, I get that I didn't get it. I understand that. Fine. But how did that guy not get it and that girl not get it? Because they were good. They were better than me. How did he not get it and she not get it? And they said, well, the decision was made from higher up. And I'm telling you, like, for a day, I'm like, oh, that's so unfair. But then I thought about how unfair it's been for so long the opposite way. And I go, if there's any balance, it makes sense.
Right. Which is why that study's true. That's why that people who aren't as open-minded and have empathy like you, Bill, are like, oh, sure, you know, I didn't get the job. But, yeah, you have to just be a little bit more intelligent
about
it. But
they've said that they've not experienced it themselves.
Oh, that's true.
That's the part that's strange
to me. But maybe they've seen it.
Maybe
they've seen it, and they've, like, why am I working
with
this
person? Maybe they hang around with a bunch of losers that don't deserve the job.
Well, you know what the problem is? I've known in my personal life is a lot of my friends don't know any minorities.
Oh, yeah, there's that.
If they don't work, they were moms, they don't know any black people. It astounds me in this day and age, but it's very, very real. And
depends where you grow up and where you live.
In many places of America,
And not just black people, but, you know, this goes to any what is perceived to be a minority.
I grew up in Brookfield. I went to Riverside Brookfield High School. There were no African-American students there. I played basketball, so we would go, and we were in the West Suburban Conference, so there were schools where I played against black girls, but I didn't go to school with any. I don't think there were any Jewish people in Brookfield, I got to be honest with you.
Yeah, so what do people know? What they hear on the news.
That's true.
Too bad.
Life, get in it. You have to experience it.
Judy, thank you
for hanging out.
Don't be crotchety.
Leave that to Judy.
Right. She's cornered the market on that. You don't have space.
And get off her corner.
Trademark.
Get off of her corner. Well, we'll close up shop next. It's Bill and Wendy WGN. For the record, I know people far more crotchety than Judy Pilak. I mean, sure, she's got a little bit of it in her, but she's not like the poster child for crotchetiness.
No, and you mentioned it before, and I think it was said poetically. You said she wears it well, and she does.
She does. Not everyone can pull that off.
We all have little crotchety moments.
I think so.
I don't like when somebody parks too close to my car or something like that.
Yep.
We all have those little things.
I hate when people take a fly swatter and just keep hitting me in the head with it.
All right, I'll stop.
Please stop. That's it for today's show, everybody. The Wednesday edition of Bill and Wendy is in the books. Hope you enjoyed yourselves.
What books? I'm
the
curious.
The books that they keep.
Not under they the great keep... literature subject.
It's way... You know the library part that nobody goes to where it's all dusty back there? That's where they keep our books back there.
In the library.
Yeah, yeah. It's progress, right?
Yeah.
All right, so that's it for today. Tomorrow, another fine program. Comedian Judy Gold will join us. I think Dean Richards returns tomorrow,
doesn't
he?
Who's that? He hasn't been on our show
in so
long.
Remember Dean Richards?
Kind of a funny guy.
He had a hit album, The Stranger, back in the 1980s.
I do remember now.
That's it for today, everybody. Good luck. Bye, Wendy.
See you, Bill.